Today's shiur is Masechet Bechorot Daf Mem, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. The Mishnah continues mentioning the different mumim that make a Bechor into a Baal Mum. Nifkam ha-zoven. If the membrane around the gid, around the male organ, has a notch, or I have area shel nekeva, if the makam ha'erva of a female, the mekdashim, and the reason the Mishnah uses the words mekdashim, because we know that there can't be a bechor who is a mekeva. So our Mishnah, which is speaking in Masechet Bechoros about bechorim, cannot be referring to that situation, and that's why the Mishnah says we're speaking here. If you made a mekeva into a carbon, you were magdish a mekeva, and it develops this mum. Is considered a mum for which you have to be tied up the animal. Nivga hazona min etzim. If in the bone, if a niche is found in one of the vertebrae that make up the tail of a animal, avaloi min aperek. That's only if it was in the vertebrae, but if it was in one of the joints, it would not be a mum. If at the end of the tail, the skin of the tail is peeled away and the vertebrae of that tail are therefore exposed, or if there is flesh, there's meat between the vertebrae of the animal, the size of an etzba, the halacha will be in all these situations that the animal is considered a baal mum. Comments the Gemara on the first halacha of the Mishnah. The Mishnah spoke about nifkam hazoivim. Says the Gemara, Amar Reb Elazar, nifkam v'loy nitol. It's only considered a mum if it has a notch on it. But if it's completely removed, then it would not be a mum. Similarly, kiss. Only if there's a niche in the membrane around the organ, then is it considered a mum. But if the male organ itself has a begema in it, it will not be considered a mum. Tanya Nami Hachi. It says in Gemara Soto, do we actually learn in the Braitza? Nifkam v'loy nitol. Only if it has a begema in the membrane, is it a mum? Not if it was completely removed. Kiss, and it's only if it's in the kiss there's a mum. The lezakos, not in the actual organ. Amar Rav Yosi ben Meshulam, Masa Ein Bol. There was actually a situation in Ein Bol, Bechet Shenit Lozov, where an entire kiss was removed by a zev. By wolf, the chazal saw and the animal was healed. So the Rishonim asked the obvious question: if we're learning now that if it has a begema, it's a problem, but if it's completely removed, it's fine. So ask the Rishonim and other mepharshim, why don't we just remove the entire kiss and it wouldn't be a problem? So I saw a number of truths into this question. One teretz is that it's only not a problem if it was always missing. But if we had an interim period where first it had a begema, it had a wound, and then it was completely removed, that animal is indeed a baal mum. That's one teretz that I saw. Another teretz that I saw goes back to an opinion of Tosfos that we discussed the other day. The Tosfos says that any mum that requires a person to actually remove the mum is not considered a mum, and therefore is not considered a mum. And therefore, says Tosfos, in this case as well, yes, you could heal, you can make this animal fine, but completely removing the kiss. But the halacha, does not require that we do so, and therefore, since the halacha does not require that we do so, that's why it's considered indeed a mum. A third teretz that I saw from the Chazon Ish is that the Chazon Ish says that certainly removing this kiss, even though it will make that the animal should not be considered a bal mum, is certainly in the category as if one were making a mum over on the animal. And the halacha, as we have learned, is that one may not make a mum over on animal. And since one may not make a mum over on the animal, that's why the Gemara says that that's why if it has this begima, we just have to leave it alone. But on the other hand, as the Gemara just said, it will be considered as if it has, it will be considered as if it has a mum and it doesn't have the din of a bechah. Continues of a bechah that you brought as a carbon. Nifkuma hazana min etzim. We learned further in the Mishnah that if the tail was exposed, or we learned if there is space of flesh between the vertebrae of the tail, the size of an etzba, the halacha is that the animal is a bal mum. Tana. So says the Gemara, quotes the Gemara Braisa that speaks about the sheer etzba, and it says, etzba sh'amru. When Chazal speak about an etzba, it's echad mi'arba b'tefach shekolodam. It's the size of a quarter of a tefach. That is the shear of an etzba. Actually, when we speak about this, there's a question, of course, which finger we're speaking about. And Chazal said that it's a shear of a quarter of a tefach. Ask the Gemara Lamai Hilchusa. And I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim to explain what is the Gemara's question when it says here Lamai Hilchusa. One explanation that I saw is that Chazal are telling us here that the shear is a quarter of an etzba. And it seems that not in all areas of halacha will we say that the shear of a etzba is a quarter of a tefach. And therefore, the Gemara here wants to know when do we apply the shear that an etzba is a quarter of a tefach, and when do we not? That's one explanation I saw. Another explanation that I saw is that the Braisa begins with the words ha'etzba sh'amru. So the Braisa says that we're speaking about an etzba. We're speaking about a specific etzba. And since we're speaking about a specific etzba, so in a specific area of halacha, so Gemara wants to know, where is that area of halacha? What is the area of halacha that's being discussed that was saying, that was speaking about this etzba? To which the Gemara responds, Amar Rava, it's regarding Linyan Tchelus. It's regarding Hilchot Tzitzis. The Tanya, there's a braisa that teaches us, Kama Chutin Hunoisin. How many threads should the tzitzis be made out of? Beshame Amrim Arba. Beshame says it should be made out of four threads. Beshil Amrim Shloisha. Beshil says three. Beshame's opinion, the way the Rishonim explain, is because the Torah says regarding the halacha of making tzitzis, Gedilim Kasaloch. The word Gedil applies, means two. Gedilim means four. The question that the Rishonim ask is not that Beis Shammai said that you need to make four, that you need to use four threads to make the tzitzis. Does Beis Shammai mean four threads for the white and four threads for the tchelis, or does, which would mean a total of eight, or does it mean four, two tchelis, two loven, or perhaps four, three loven, and one tchelis? Beis Hillel's opinion is shloisha. That means three threads. According, where does Beis Hillel get to that number? So, one explanation Rishonim suggests is that Beis Hillel actually says that the word gedil means one thread. Then the Torah says gedilim means another thread. And then the Torah uses the word psil means a third thread. Again, in the explanation of Beis Hillel, there's a discussion. Does he mean three threads just of the white? Does he mean three threads of the white and blue combined? Furthermore, continues the Braisa, the Kama Tehenu Shaloshes, how much must it be hanging down? And here too, there's a question amongst the Rishonim, what does the Gemara mean? Everybody agrees that there are two parts to the tzitzis, as we know. There's the part that's called the gedil, which is the braided section of the tzitzis, and then there's the part, the threads that are hanging down, which are called the onof. The question, the machlokes b'shayim b'shilul, is machlokes rishonim, what does the gemara mean? Rashi and the Rambam say that the machlokes we're about to have between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is how long must the entire length of the tzitzis, that means the gedil and the onof, be. That according to Beis Shammai, the entire length has to be 4 etzbos, and according to Beis Hillel, the entire length has to be 3 etzbos. Rabbeinu Tam, however, says that the machlokes of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is regarding the size of the gedil. That according to Beis Shammai, the length of the gedil, the braided part, should be 4 etzbos. And according to Beis Hillel, the length of the gedil should be 3 etzbos. A third opinion that I saw is that the machlokes that we're about to learn between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is actually regarding the length of the onof, of the hanging part. Furthermore, it seems from the Paiskim that many Paiskim are of the opinion that even though the Gemara here mentions these different Shiurim, the Machlokes, if the Machlokes Rishonim, if you don't have these minimum Shiurim, will the Tzitzis be kosher? And it becomes especially relevant according to the second two opinions, that the Gemara here is speaking either just about the braided section or just about the hanging section, that they alone have these shiurim. The Shulchan Aruch, and the Prima Gaon says that we should follow the opinion of Shulchan Aruch, is that it's ma'akiv even b'di'evit. Other Rishonim have a more lenient opinion, and they take the opinion of the Levush Paskins that way, that the entire discussion of our Gemara is only midrabbanon, midraisa, as long as you have one knot and some hanging tzitzis, the halacha will be that the tzitzis are considered kosher tzitzis. So again, the commentary mishleshes, the different pshatim that we offered, Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Shammai Omrim Arba, 4 etzbos, or Beis Hillel Omrim Sholosh, and Beis Hillel says 3 etzbos. V'sholosh, so Beis Hillel Omrim, now when we speak about etzbos, says the Bryce, says Rabba, and that's how we began the Gemara. We speak about Echa Mi'ar V'Tefach Shekal Adam, where it's a quarter of a Tefach, that's when, that's the size of an etzba. Rav Huna Ben Yehoshua, however, he has a different explanation. He says it's talking about L'shtei Amos, that when we speak about the etzba, we're speaking about the two measuring sticks that were in the Beis HaMikdash. The Tanan, as the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Kelim, Shtei Amos Hayu, there were two measuring sticks, Beshushan Aviro. There was an attic in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni that was called the Shushan Aviro. The reason it was called Shushan Aviro is because they had on the in that room a picture or a or decoration that looked like the skyline of Shushan Aviro. The reason they had that skyline was because they were still under Persian domination during the time of the Beis Hamikdash Sheni, and the Persians wanted them to remember that they were under their control. So they told them, "You have to put up this picture of Shushan Aviro always to remember who is really in control here. Who under whose control are you?" Achas was on the Keren Mizrachot Tzvainus. One was on the northeast corner of that room. V'achas al Keren Mizrachot Tzvainus. One was on the southeast corner of the room. Why is the Mishnah what go out of its way to tell us exactly where in the room these measuring sticks were? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat I saw from the Tzaras Yisrael, because as we're about to learn, one of them was used for the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, and one was used for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And we know certainly that the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash had more kedusha than the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And also know that the north side always represents a higher level of kedusha. That's why we know the halacha is kachin kachin, and we bring kachin kachin as a carbon, they should be offered on the north side. So that's why the Mishnah mentions that the holier one, so to speak, was on the north side and the other one was on the south side. That's one pshat that I saw. But then I saw another very nice pshat. As we're about to learn, actually, the size of these measuring sticks wasn't an accurate size. The Gemara in a moment is going to explain why that was the case. But we know that the Torah teaches us that one is supposed to be very careful to have in his home only honest weights. So now we have a situation that we have not accurate measuring sticks, which of course we're not allowed to have. But the halacha is that if one has inaccurate measuring sticks, but he clearly notifies and points out that they're inaccurate, then we don't have that issue. So by clearly pointing out where these measuring sticks were and saying that they were in this designated place and don't use them for your regular use, it was only now that they were used because of the unique circumstances that the Gemara is about to describe, the isser of having inaccurate measuring sticks at home wouldn't apply. So achas was al kerem mizrachas tzofonis, v'achas al kerem mizrachas tzofonis. One in the northeast corner, one in the southeast corner. So kerem mizrachas tzofonis hoisi sera al shemaisha chatzi etzpa. The one on the northeast was a half etzpa larger than the proper measuring stick of 6 tefachim per amma that Moshe Rabbeinu made. V'ashakem mizrach t'raim v'sayshi sara lea chatzi etzba. The other one was a half an etzba larger than the first one, which means for a total of an etzba. Nitzva yisera al shemaisha etzba. V'lom ha'yayis aks g'doyel v'aks k'tana. Why did they do this? Says the Gemara, she'yom ne'noitlin b'k'tana o maksirin b'k'doyla. When people would work, when they had people taking material from the Beis HaMikdash, they had to be very careful not to abuse any of that material, because that material is kodesh, it belongs to Hegdish, and if one uses it improperly, there's an issue of Mi'ila B'Hegdish. So since there's a concern of Mi'ila B'Hegdish, that's why they were careful to give back a little more than they actually took, to avoid a problem of Mi'ila B'Hegdish, Shiovel De Mi'ila. And that's why they had these measuring sticks that was somewhat a little larger than the actual measuring, than the actual amount they were supposed to take. So as the Mepharshim point out, a number of very important points. Certainly, when they built the Beis HaMikdash, or they built the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, they were careful to make it as best as possible, to be as exact as possible, to follow the dimensions the Torah said. And of course, we only could do, the Mepharshim say, what we can do as much as the halach, as much as is humanly possible. But here we're not speaking regarding that issue. Here they say we're speaking about the concern of Mi'ila B'Hegdash, of not taking more than we're supposed to. And how can we be sure that we're not taking more, not taking from Hegdash something for ourselves? Again, the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that you're going to take material that you're not supposed to take. The way that that could be made sure of is by using an extra larger measuring stick when you're measuring, and to make sure that you didn't abuse Hegdash. Others say it's talking regarding figuring out how much Hegdash owes you for your actual labor, and therefore it's if you worked a little more than you were supposed to in order that you should not be cheating Hegdash. But all the Rishonim and all the Mepharshim ask a question here. They say that we've quoted this din many times in our shiurim, that the halach is
hegdish shechiloi al shava pruta, that if you redeem even something which is very expensive that belongs to hegdish, and you use even a shava pruta, the halacha is that the heg, it's considered a valid pigeon. So certainly over here it would be in that same category. It's only a question of a little more or a little less, but they certainly gave hegdish its value. So why would there be a problem? So the simplest teretz is that, of course, perhaps al pi din it would not be an issue, but these people did not want to have any hanor from hegdish that wasn't appropriate. They didn't want to take anything that belonged to hegdish, even though perhaps halachically we would be able to come out with a way of figuring it out that shouldn't be halachically prohibited, and that's why they followed this type of a approach. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw, an opinion that we quoted previously, that the halacha of hegdish shechiloi apach mishav pruta, it's considered a valid pigeon, is only said regarding the owner who was magdish something. That means, if I was magdish something, and then after I was magdish it, I want to be paid it, so we have the halacha that we're discussing. But in a situation where it's not I who am being magdish it, as in this case it was the workers, then there is no din of hegdish shechila apach mishav pruta, that it's mechol. Another pshat that I saw is that the din, the hegdish achela shav pruta, is considered acceptable pigeon, is only when we're not speaking about exact amounts. Here we're speaking about exact amounts. They took a certain amount of silver. They took a certain amount of gold. There will not be a halacha that hegdish achela epoch mishav pruta is mechel. Ask the Gemara tatalomali. So why do they need to have two measuring sticks? Answers the Gemara. Chada the kas of the hava. One was for gold, silver and gold, which are very expensive, and we didn't want the workers to have to subsidize such a significant amount. One was for other materials, which aren't that expensive, and therefore it could even be an extra etzba. A third place, says the Gemara, where we need to know the exact size of an etzba, that to that perhaps is what the Bryce is referring to. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak v'Tamer Rav Huna by Nosson, Loisa Shishaninu, regarding the halacha that we learned in our Mishnah, Sheibasa ben Choli l'Choya, that there's flesh between the vertebrae of the tail, the size of an etzba, the animals about mum, and that's why the Mishnah mentions that's when we need to know the size of an etzba that's a quarter of a tefach. The Mishnah continues mentioning different mum. Anyway, babe, if the Bukhar has no testicles, or enle elabeya achas, or if it has only one, the halacha is Rav Shmuel says im yesh l'shnei kisim. If you see that it has two pouches, yesh l'shnei beim, it certainly has two beim. The Gemara is going to explain all of these opinions. Enle shnei kisim, but if it doesn't have two pouches, enle elabeya achas, that it means it only has one beim. Rav Kiva says, what should you do? In other words, Rav Kiva is referring to the situation that there are two pouches, but there's only one beya. What you should do is mashiva el akuza, put it on its back, or memach, and do an examination. Im yesh beya, if indeed there is a beya, then soifa lotzeis, then for sure that beya will come out. It will emerge. Maisa says the Mishnah, there was an incident. Shemir for Layot, they did this examination, they did this procedure, and it did not emerge. Nishchata, then the animal was slaughtered. The Nimtzat Vukub Iksalim, they found it on attached to the meat. Better Rekiva. Rekiva said that since it didn't come out during this squeezing procedure, then the halach is that it's a balmum. The Hitter Rekiva, and therefore Rekiva said that it could be eaten, become the personal property of the kohen, it's not a carbon. Vasar Rav Yochman Nuri took an stricter opinion. So ask the Gemara immediately, Hashta Enla Elabeya Achas, Amrit Havamuma. If we're saying that if it only has one beya, it's a mum, so why must the Mishnah tell us, Enla Klal, if it has no beyim at all, Mibayi, of course it's about mum? Answer the Gemara, Sir Mechzavakotani. This story of Mishnah should be understood.
If it doesn't have the two of them in two pouches, only in one pouch. Inami, or shtei kisim, it has indeed two pouches, but there's only one beya. Harei zemu. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, to which Rabbi Shmuel comments, yesh lekei kisim, if it has two pouches, then you should know, b'yidush yesh lo shtei beyim, that's a sign that clearly it has two beyim. En le'el kis achad, if it only has one pouch, kimisha en le'el beya achas tami, it should be considered as if it only has one beya. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel and the Tanakhama agree that if it has, the Tanakhama said that if the animal has only one beya in two pouches, it's a balmum. Rabbi Shmuel says to that if it has two pouches, it certainly has two beyim, and it's not a balmum. Rabbi Shmuel does agree with the Tanakhama that if it has only one kiss, and even though that kiss perhaps will have two beyim, it will be considered a balmum. Vasa v'kivla meima. You're saying that if it has two pouches, it certainly has two bayim. Says Rabbi Kiva to Rabbi Shmuel, we can't make such assumptions. What must we do? Meshiva alakuzot, put it on its back of a mach and squeeze it. Im yesh beya, if it has a beya, soifa lotzeis, it will come out. So, the Tanakhama is obviously of the opinion that there is no need to do an examination. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that an examination must be made. Says the Reishis Bikurim, what is the Machloikas of Rabbi Kiva and the Tanakhama all about? It goes back to an issue that we keep on speaking, the issue that Tosfos taught us. Is there, when you have a mum that can be rectified, or can be dealt with by human intervention, is there an obligation to do so? Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that there is an obligation to do so. Rabbi Shmuel, however, is of the opinion that we have no... the Tanakhama is of the opinion, however, that we have no obligation to do so, and therefore he holds that if it does... The Tanakhama says if you can't see it, you don't have to do anything more. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah said, Master Meir Shalayot. Tanya, says the Gemara, Braisa. Honor of Yosef, Maisim, appearance of Beis Menachem. There was a story in the home of Menachem in the city of Piron. Shemiyach v'loyotzu, that they did this examination, and the bay did not emerge. And then after the shechita, nimtzu dvuka b'ksolim, they found it attached to the meat. V'itra Rabbi Kiva said that animal is considered a balmum. V'asa Rabbi Yechim Anuri, Rabbi Yechim Anuri said, since the bay was ultimately came out, it's not considered a balmum. Omer Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yechim Anuri, admasa at mechalim amayim shel Yisrael. How are you mistreating Klai Yisrael's money? The halacha is that this bay is mutter, this animal is a balmum. Why are you saying that it should not be considered a balmum? And I saw that the Miri explains. The Miri says that we have a rule throughout Shas, HaTorah Chosso Am Amonim Shel Yisrael, and since the Torah Chosso Amonim Shel Yisrael, you have to be, a Rav has to be careful before he says that something that belongs to Klai Yisrael is, may not be eaten, should be thrown out. In fact, I saw an unbelievable tshuva mahava. The tshuva mahava says as follows. If somebody comes to a rav with a shayla, let's say on a piece of meat, if it's kosher or it's not kosher, and the rav will say that the meat is not kosher, when really the meat is kosher, so now he has a situation where he has a ben odom l'chaveiro issue on his hands, where he's taking somebody else's money that belongs to someone else, and he made him throw out that money. Whereas, says the Tshuva Mahava, if he will have said on something which is really that it's not kosher, that it is kosher, so his issue now is Ben Odom Lamokoi. And says the Tshuva Mahava, we are much better off to be in a situation where we have an issue Ben Odom Lamokoi versus having a situation of Ben Odom L'chaveron. And therefore, he says, it's easier, it's more important to be Mako than to be Machma. Amar Rabbi Yechim Anuri of Kiva. Rabbi Yechim Anuri says to Rabbi Kiva, Ad Masi Atamachu Yisrael Nevelis. You're giving Klai Yisrael Nevela meat. Ask the Gemara, how does Rabbi Yechim Anuri call it Nevela meat? Lav Mishra Shachte, wasn't this animal slaughtered? Ela Trefus. The Gemara means treifus. So the Gemara allowed this to treifus who? Even according to Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri, we're not speaking about treifus here. We're speaking, is it a bechor? Is it not a bechor? But how did the word treifus come in here? Says the Gemara, rather what he said to him was, Admasa atamachli Yisrael kachim b'chutz. How are you giving Klal Yisrael to eat kachim? It's a carbon, you can't allow them to eat it as if it wasn't kachim meat. The Mefarshim ask, why did Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri pick about the Isser of Achilas kachim b'chutz? Why didn't he speak about the more serious Isser of Shechting kachim b'chutz? So the Mefarshim respond that even according to Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri, they were allowed to shecht this animal. Because when they did the shechita, they all innocently did not know that there was another bayah here. The issue only emerged after they shechted the second, after they shechted the animal and they discovered the bayah connected to the meat. Says the Mishnah, Baal Chomesh Uglayim, if the animal has 5 feet, only has 3 feet, or if its feet look like a donkey, the Gemara will explain what that means, ask the Mishnah immediately, what is a shochel? Is a shochel? It's if the thigh slipped out of its socket. The kossel, what is a kossel? The one thigh is higher than the other. Says the Gemara, Amrafuna, when we speak about the animal being about mum, because it's missing a leg or has an extra leg, only in the forelegs. Av beregel, on the back leg, treifa nami havi. If it's missing a leg, if it has an extra leg, then it's actually a treifa. Why? The koyeser kenotl dami. When you have extra, it's actually as if it's missing. And the halacha is that if it's missing, if the animal's missing its thigh, or the animal's missing part of the leg, as we learned in Masechet Chulin, in all of these situations, the animal is considered, it's considered a treifa. What is the technical reason why yeser cannot kill dummy? One explanation they saw is, we see that this animal has actually 5 legs. But one of the legs is the extra one. One of the legs is the one that's a problem. Now we don't know that maybe the problematic leg is the leg that's one of the 4 legs that this animal needs to survive. And as I just mentioned, if a leg of an animal is missing or it's damaged, it's a treifa. And maybe one of the essential legs is actually the treifa. Another pshat is, as we just alluded to, because this entire leg is considered extra, even the part where it's connected to the body, and that part where it's connected to the body, if it's missing, makes the animal into a treifa. But then I saw another pshat that the Rishonim and Achronim suggest. An animal was meant to have 4 legs. If an animal has 5 legs, so that means the animal is supporting more legs than it really can. And therefore, since it's supporting more legs than it really can, so the animal is weakened by its need to support more legs than it's really made to, and that's what makes it into a treifa. And actually, this last shot, the difference between this last explanation we gave and the other explanations, is very relevant l'aloch l'maisa. Because the Rishonim, the Arzurua, and other Rishonim already discussed, what is the halacha if it has an extra leg, but it's obvious that extra, which is the extra leg, it's not in the same row together with the other legs, will the animal be a treifa as well? The Arzurua says that then the animal won't be a treifa. And presumably the explanation of the Arzurua is because, as we just said, because the Arzurua follows the opinions that the leg is as if we don't know which is the extra leg and maybe one of the essential legs are missing. We don't know if that part with a leg is connected, is not there properly, and that would make the animal a treifa. But if we follow the last opinion that I said, that the concern is because when it has an extra leg, it weakens the animal, and that makes the animal to a treifa, then it doesn't make a difference if that extra leg is in the same row with the other legs or not. In fact, I saw the Mefarshim explain that this last explanation is important not just in the halacha that we're discussing now about making an animal into a treifa, but also has an important lesson to us. One should concentrate properly. And if one is all over the place, so to speak, and he's not concentrating properly, then that is considered a treifa. You should put the right amount of concentration and not be spread too thin. The Sfasema says that Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu v'shalich lefonai v'yeh somit, that after you'll have the milah, you are considered tamim. Why only after the milah was Avram Avinu considered tamim? Because before he had the milah, he had yeser, he had something extra in his body, the arlo. And our Gemara is teaching us that kol yeser penotl domi. If you have something extra, you're not tamim. You're missing something. Only when the milah, when the arlo was removed, was Avram Avinu considered that he was tamim, that he was indeed whole. Another shot that I saw is that we know that the Torah, that the pasuk uses different statements that Yaakov Avinu made versus Esau. Yaakov said, "Yesh li rov." Esau said, "Yesh li kol." The difference is that a tzaddik believes that he only has as much as he needs. The Rosh believes that he has more than he needs. Kol yeser k'notul dom. Amra Papa continues the Gemara. When the Mishnah spoke about the animal having feet that are round like a donkey, loitem dagilon loy sedikin, don't say speaking about that they're round and also not split. Ela kiven dagilon, once they're round, afka sedikin, even if they're split, even if they have split hooves, the halacha is that the animal is considered a bamum. The Mefarshim discuss, and what will be the halacha if it's not split, if it's not split, it is split, but it's if it's not round and not split. And most Rishonim hold that, again, since it's different than the regular animal looks, that will make it into bamo. Hashokhel ha-kosel, ton rabbonim, ezel shokhel, ezel kosel, ezel shokhel. Shokhel, says the Mishnah Shnishmati Reichai, when the thigh bone is not in its socket. Kosel shiragle echad b'toicha kesel, where one leg is in the right place and one leg is not in the right place. Tana, continues the Gemara, the Torah speaks about a sorua v'akolot. Sorua, says the Gemara, means shnishtab ulirechoy. That sorua means that one of the legs is larger than the other leg. Kolot, shiraglav kolutus kishal chamor v'shal sos, that its leg is not split like the leg of a donkey or a horse. Says the Mishnah, Nishma etzba yodav etzim ragloi, abishen and nicker. If it has a broken leg or a broken foot, even though it's not visible, mum elemon ayal b'yavna. This is what ayalos said in Yavna are included in the mumim, for haidu lechachamim, and the chachamim agreed that these are indeed mumim that make the b'char b'al mum, for haid shloisha haisif, and then he said three more mumim. They said we have not heard that these are considered mumim. Shegilgal enoy ogil kishal adam, a bechar that its eye is round like a person's, or piv daimik kishal chazir, its mouth looks like the mouth of a pig. Mishnitl roiv amadabul shanay, most of the speaking part of the tongue, the part of the tongue that moves around, is missing. Bezin shalchreim amr harezamum, but later on, the later Besdin established that they are indeed, these are also considered mumim. Ein nicker miyakavim mumim. So the Mishnah began by saying that if it has a broken leg or a broken foot, even though it's not visible, it's a mum. Why is that considered a mum? Amar Pippa, ein nicker machmas atzmoi. It's not visible when it's standing. Al nicker machmas melocha. When it's walking, you could tell that it's broken. And that's enough to make it a mum shebegolui. And as the Chasam Sofer says, even though the Torah uses the words piseach, and it would seem that it has to be always obvious that it's a piseach, teaches us the Gemara that if it's nicker, just when it's walking, that's enough to make it into Pesed. Mumen Eilumanum, the Mishnah mentioned that these are Mumen. Lememra, says the Gemara, the Laf Haina Urchei, that an eye, if the eye of an animal is similar to the eye of a person, it's not normal. Verminu, asked the Gemara, the Mishnah, we know our Torah teaches us that if a, and again I emphasize that this is Midaraisa, that if a woman has a boy, she's Tamei no matter what for 7 days, and Torah no matter what for 14 days. And by a girl, everything doubles. She's Tamei no matter what. She's Torah no matter what for 33 days. Again, she's Tamei for the first 7 days, and Torah for the next 33 days. By a girl, everything doubles. She's Tamei for 14, and Torah for 66. The Mishnah in the Masechta Nidos discusses a situation where a woman has a child that looks like min behema chai v'oif, doesn't look like a human being, it looks like an animal. Beit Tamei Beit Tamei, whether a kosher or non-kosher species. If it was a male, Teshu L'Zokah, she has a din, as if she had a male, that we just explained. In the cave, if she has a female, she has Dalokah as if she had Teshu L'Nekeva, Dalokah V'Nekeva. Any Yidua, if we don't know if it was a male or female, we can't tell. Teshu L'Zokah L'Nekeva, the Rebbe Meir. The Meir says, we give her all the chumras, that means she's Tomei no matter what for 44 days, for 14 days, and then she's only going to be Tor no matter what for the remainder till the 33 days. Since the eye of the animal is similar to the person, that's why we give this woman who had this type of birth the din as if she had a human being. So here we see that they're the same, and here we see they're different. Amar Rav Yosef, Lakasha Hava Uchma. In the black of the eye, that's when the animal and the person are the same. But Sira, when it comes to the whiter eye, that's when the person and the animal are different. Upiv Dami Kishal Chazir, Amar Papa, what time of the sharp of the parts, that if the mouth of the Bechor is like the mouth of a pig, it doesn't mean that if it's round and overlapping, Ella, even the Horus, once the upper lip overlaps the lower lip, I forgot the word Shafit, even though it's not round, it's already considered a mum. The Mishnah also said that the Iyola mentioned the mum of Shnitl Roy Hamadabashal Shinai, Masni Samani, said the Marhu, the Tanakh of Mishnah of Yudihi, the Tanakh of Shnitl Roy Haloshin, of Yudaimah, what does it mean Roy Haloshin? Roy Hamadabashal Shinai. Says the Mishnah, Ma'isa Shalachi attacked an Oedif Ha'Elyon. It once was that the lower jaw of a Bechor overlapped its upper jaw. The Shara Shimon Gamliel HaChachamim, Shimon Gamliel asked the Chachamim, what is the status of this Bechor? From our Rezimun. Asked the Gemara, my Tana, the Tani Ma'isa, what halacha is the Mishnah referring to that Mishnah has to mention an incident to back it up. Says the Gemara, Mishum the Tanan, because we learned in the previous Mishnah, Piv Daimel Chazir, that if the mouth looks like the mouth of Chazir, said Ayola, it's a mum, or Pliga Rabbanan de Ayola, and Rabbanan disagreed with Ayola, the Kaminan, so that says our Mishnah, Ki Pligi Rabbanan Alei de Ayola, Rabbi Ayola, when do they disagree? When the upper lip overlaps the lower lip. But when the lower lip overlaps the upper lip, they agree that Hareza Mum. Or Maisanami, to which the Gemara brings, in fact, an incident. Where the lower jaw went out past the upper jaw. And Shimon Leil asked the Chachamim, how to treat this animal, and Amar Reza Mum. Ask the Gemara, Vagabi Odomhu, only regarding the mumum of a person, we're going to learn later in our Masechta, the mumum that make a kohen be considered by mum. The Tanan, the way the Mishnah speaks about a kohen who can't do the avoida. Svas al yonah defas al tachtoina, oi sha tachtoina defas al yonah, ha Reza Mum, because Gabi Adam, when it comes to speaking about people, that the Torah says, Ish Mizera Aaron, that the Torah teaches us that in order to be considered a kohen that could do an avodah, you must be an individual, ish sheshava b'zara shel Aaron, that you look like all other kohanim, aba hemaloi. So how come we're considering this a mum by the hema? Answers the Gemara, Amar Papa like Kasha. Hada is be'etzem. Our Mishnah, which says that even an animal becomes a bamum, is speaking about when the overlap has a bone. The Mishnah that implies that this is only by a person, a mum, is when it doesn't have a bone. By an animal, that wouldn't make it into a mum. By a person, it would be a mum. Oizen and dihoisik fula. If a goat's ear was doubled, and the Rishonim say, even though, as we learned earlier, goats typically had long ears, the Mishnah is teaching us that still this will be a mum even by a goat. Amr Chachamim, which the Chachamim said, Bizman she'etzim echad, when it's one piece of cartilage, mum, is it considered a mum? Bizman she'ein bayetzim, when there is no cartilage in the second ear, ein a mum, it's not a mum. Rav Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Znat hagdi, shedoyim l'shechazir, if a goat's tail looks like a pig, v'she'ein bay sholosh choyus, or a goat's tail that doesn't have three vertebrae, and all of these cases, hareza mum, that would make the b'chorin tamum. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, piv bolum, if the mouth is swollen, other Rishonim say if the mouth doesn't open up as much as the mouth normally does, raglav mum lomas, or its feet are swollen, machm saruach, if it's only because of a wind, that the animal inhaled extra wind, ain't a mum. Machmas etzem, but if there's a problem in the bones of this animal, then hareis a mum, it would be considered a mum. Ozna fulois besichsachas achas, if its ears are doubled with one cartilage, hareis a mum. B'shteisachsuchsus, but if it has two cartilages, then ain't a mum, it's not a mum. The Mishnah said, if the tail of a goat looks like the tail of a pig, then it's a mum. Alright, Papa. Loi time with the ketina. Don't say that it has to be round and thin. El b'kricha. The Mishnah means to say that if it's round, afagav dalimit, even though it's thick, it's already a mum. Ein oish ein by shol shchoyus. Amr Afuna, Tamitz Afuna, but D, Stein Hareza Mum. Regarding a goat, only two vertebrae in the tail is a mum. Shalish, but three are not a mum. That, thus, a goat that has three vertebrae in its tail is not a mum because that's normal. But Telet, when we speak about a lamb, Shalish Hareza Mum, three vertebrae are a mum. Arba before animal. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Begdi achas hareza mum. One vertebrae, only having one vertebrae is a mum. Shtayim, but having two is animal. The Telah shtayim hareza mum, sholosh and a mum. Tiyuf the Rafuna, isn't this a refutation of Rafuna? Says the Gemara Rafuna. How did Rafuna come to make the mistake? Says the Gemara, Masnis not to say. The Mishnah made him make the mistake. He said, since the first part of the Mishnah is speaking about a goat, similarly, Sefer Nami Bigdi. The first part of the Mishnah was speaking about the goat's ear, so he assumed that the last part of the Mishnah is also speaking about a goat. Velohi, Reish Bigdi. The first part of the Mishnah is speaking about a goat, but the Sefer is speaking about a lamb. Rav Chanina Matignas Oima, Oishi Yabels Be'enoi. If the animal has a wart in its eye, or shenifka etzim yodiv etzim ragloi, or the foreleg or the back leg have a begima, v'shenifsek atzmo shebepiv, or the bone in its mouth is split, en achas gdoyle v'achas ktana, one eye is big and one eye is small, oiz na achas gdoyle v'achas ktana, or one ear is big and one ear is small, b'mara, in when you look at it, Avalabamida, but not if you can only, it has to be visibly different, not only if you could tell the difference because you have to measure it. Yudaima, Shtei Beyov, Achas Doyle, Kishtayim Kichavarata, an animal is considered a Bamum if it's two If it's two bayim, one is twice the size of the other. Loi hagel chachamim, and the chachamim did not agree with this. Says the Gemara, lememra the abelas have a muma. It seems that our Mishnah holds that a wart is a mum. For a minu, the Mishnah says, as we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, it's not considered a mum, a full-fledged mum. It's not considered perfectly fine, but it's not considered a mum. The tisbro. So before we go further, ask the Gemara, how could you suggest that a yabelis is not a mum? Haksiv yabelis by Raisa. The Torah clearly mentions a yabelis. Eloi kasha. Habagufa. When the Mishnah says that a wart is not considered a full-fledged mum, it's speaking about a wart on the body. Habe'enoi, a yabelis in the eye, is considered a full-fledged mum. Michti, ask the Gemara, cross tama. The Torah says that a yabelis is a mum. So ask the Gemara, mali gufa mali be'enoi. How do we differentiate if it's in the body or in the eye? Eloi kasha. Hade is be'etzem, if the wart has a bone, hade less be'etzem, or it doesn't have a bone. If it has a bone, it's a mum, otherwise it doesn't. The crop, the pasuk, when it says that a yabelis is a mum, is speaking about a yabelis, this way etzem, that has a bone in it. Masnisen, the Mishnah speaking about, where it's not considered a full-fledged mum, is talking about a yabelis, the less by etzem, that doesn't have a bone. The eno, have a mumma, the gufa, lo have a mumma. It's not a mum. So what we're saying is in the eye it's always a mum. In the body it depends if it has a bone or not. Ask the Gemara. But v'lesle etzim v'gufa psula. We're saying now that if it has a yabelis in the body without a bone, it still can't be brought as a carbon. Harei tilka ba'amahu. That's just some extra skin. The Tana. V'lesle oimer. Balia t'lulun. Something that has hanging flesh. Psulun ba'adam. A koyin would not be allowed to do the avoid if he has that issue. The sharing of behema. Ella, idvi idvi eina. So therefore, the way to resolve the Mishnah is says the Gemara as follows. Both are speaking about a wart in the eye. Vloy kasha, habishacha. The Mishnah that says that it's a full-fledged mum is when it's in the black of the eye. Habalovim, when it's in the white of the eye, it's not a full-fledged mum. Ask the Gemara. We've learned at the beginning of the parak that in the white of the eye there are no movement at all, says the Gemara. Eli idvi idvi beloven. Vamrish lakish loy kasha. The Mishnah later on says hadi is besar. The Mishnah is speaking about when the wart has hair growing from it, such is very repulsive, and it will be considered also to be put on the mizbeach. When it doesn't have hair and it's a wart in the white of the eye without even hair, it's perfectly fine. One eye is big. What does it mean it's big? It's big like the eye of a calf. What does it mean when it's small? Like the eye of a goose. One, and then the Mishnah went on to speak about the bayim. Rabbanan, a kama. The Rabbanan hold that if the smaller bayah is half the size of the larger bayah, the animal is not a balmum. Wants the Gemara to know at what point does it become balmum. Tanya chem omrim, afil en l'shneel kapul k'sheira. The Rabbanan hold that even if one bayah is as small as a bean, the as long as it has both bayim, the halacha will be that the animal is considered not a balmum.